Season. How many people is that is your favorite season, summer? Everybody in South Louisiana is like, not really. So I have another question for you this morning, since summer is not it, because we're going to sweat. And it's going to be fabulous because you're going to get all these toxins out of your body, toxins and things like that. Let me ask you one more question. If you were going on a vacation this morning, would it be the beach or the mountains? One, two, three, go. So you already knew. How many people would say, I would go to the beach? I would go to the beach, La Playa in Espanol. The beach. I need to see your hands. Raise your hands, ye beach people. Okay, so how many people, if you had a choice this morning, and we were going to take you, we're just all going to go on a church-wide vacation trip, how many people would go to the mountains? Like, raise your hand. Thank you, all ye mountain people. It's funny. How many people like both equally? Like, you like both equally? Just take me somewhere. Take me somewhere, hallelujah. I don't even care where I'm going to go. I'm like that. But I mean, like, if seriously, vacations are my favorite thing. We save all of our extra money to go on vacations because of me. And so, but I love the mountains. And I was talking to my husband this morning. He loves the beach. And so when we were married and when we didn't have, we call this BK, before kids. We have four kids. They take all of our money from us. And so we have no money. But before kids, we used to go on these fabulous vacations. And one time, we were in Costa Rica. This is before we were pastoring, so we had a great job. And so we went to Costa Rica, and it was the mountains and the beach. Like, you were in the mountains, and about 2 minutes down the mountain, you were at these beautiful, gorgeous blue beach, and it was like the best of both worlds. And so if you ever have a chance, get out to Costa Rica, because you got both. If you have a divided household this morning, like Ted and I, you know, the people that cheer for Alabama and LSU. And so this morning, I am here to say that Jesus loves the mountains. I know he does, because he created them. And my husband's like, you can't say that, because Jesus did a lot of stuff on the beach too. I said, yes, but he gave the summer, the sermon on the mountain. And so this whole summer, you're going to hear from different speakers. I get the privilege of introducing the series, but really Jesus is the one that we need to give all honor to, because he's the one who, when he came out of fasting and after he was delivering and healing people, he delivered a sermon from the... Look at you guys. You've already picked the mountains as your vacation. Just joking. Not really. And so it's interesting, in the Old Testament, most of the time when God would speak to his people, he would speak from a mountain. Now, this is actually biblically accurate. Abraham, he went to Mount Moriah, and then again, a mountain, and he offers his son Isaac as a sacrifice. You might remember that. And he lays his son Isaac at the Mount of Moriah, and then there's a ram in the thicket, and God says, no, choose the ram. And it was an example of what was to come in Jesus Christ. That happened at a mountain. Moses, do you remember the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments, he goes to Mount Sinai. And God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, instructions on how to follow the Lord on top of a mountain. Elijah, one of the prophets, the men of God, a prophet of God, he comes off of Mount Carmel, and he has sort of like this wild showdown with the prophets, and he calls down fire from heaven, and God answers, and it blows up the prophets, and it's crazy. Guess where that happened? On a mountain, in Mount Carmel. So mountains in Scripture are bridges to hear from the Lord. Moses heard from the Lord, Abraham heard from the Lord, Elijah hears from the Lord, and Jesus, because in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew is writing to Jewish people, and he's writing to Jewish people so that they would know that Jesus was the Christ, who is the Messiah, and he delivers his first message from a mountain. Why? Because Jesus is a greater Elijah. Jesus is a greater Moses. Jesus is a greater Abraham. Now, this would have been unthinkable to people back in those days because they honored Abraham and they honored Moses and they honored Elijah. And yet Jesus takes this message and delivers this message on a mountain, which is a bridge from God's mouth unto the people. And Jesus delivers what we call today the Sermon on the Mountain. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. So the chosen, who is like this group of people that have decided to sort of take all of the gospel. Anybody ever watched The Chosen? Did you watch a clip? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you, yeah, it's fat. It's really good. They're doing just a modern day rendition on these scriptures. And I want to show a clip this morning as we start our series, The Sermon on the Mount. And here is Matthew chapter 5, at least their rendition of Jesus delivering the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's pay attention. Matthew chapter 5. I feel like I should pray or something. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? Say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say amen. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 1. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 1. Jesus delivers a sermon from a mount. And I always think whenever you hear the first thing, you should listen to what the first thing is. It says, seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him and said, Blessed are you. Oh, how we love those words. This morning's sermon is named The Blessed, Prosperous, Happy, and Abundant Life. So how many people would like to live the blessed, prosperous, happy, and abundant life? Those are like the four best words that I can think of. But actually, when you look up the word beatitude, somebody say beatitude. When you look up the word beatitude in scripture, what it actually means is to be blessed, to be prosperous, to be happy, and to be abundant. And so in our culture, in our world systems, you would think that Jesus is going to come and deliver us the 40-step book, and he's going to sell a book on how to have the greatest life ever. You know the books that I'm talking about, 7 Steps to Success, or how to do things a little bit better so that you feel a little bit better about yourself. However, Jesus comes with a different pattern, a different way of thinking. In fact, it's what we call the upside down kingdom. What do I mean? I have a picture. It's of a camel. I think we have a picture of a camel. Do you see the picture of a camel? Yeah, you see the shadow of the camel? Now, if you look at that picture really, really long, my husband was showing it to me this morning because I'm trying to make an example. In our world, the camel, or the shadow, the black shadow of the camel is what we look at and we focus on. And we think that that is the real thing. However, if you look very, very closely, you're going to recognize that is not actually the camel. If you look at this, this is a green piece of bush, and this little scrawny thing right here, little animal, that is the actual camel. But in our world, we focus so much on the big thing that we don't actually see the real thing. And this morning, the real thing in this particular example is the camel. You can see the camel and it's casting a shadow. So what Jesus does is that he looks at us and he looks at this kingdom that he's trying to bring about, and he says it's not about being popular. It's not about being more rich. It's not about who you know. It's not about any of those kings. To be blessed and prosperous and happy and abundant, you have to be like me. Like Jesus. So let's keep on reading. It says this in verse 2. It says, and he opened his mouth and he told him, say, now if you're underlining and taking notes this morning, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. So now it becomes not who we are, what we do, but it becomes who we are. And I love in The Chosen how it says, if you want them to find me, you've got to look for these kind of people. So to this morning, in order to be blessed and prosperous and happy and abundant, it's like it's an upside down kingdom. We don't search for fame. We don't search for money. We don't search for better things. Instead, Jesus says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Somebody say poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Now, the poor in spirit speaks to us of a spiritual condition of poverty. It describes a person who recognizes their need for God. And the kingdom of heaven refers to a people who acknowledge God as king. So one who is poor in spirit knows that he or she is spiritually bankrupt apart from Jesus Christ. So blessed are the poor in spirit. You might know someone like this that has an attitude of, if it wasn't for Jesus. Isn't that what Brother Victor led us in this morning? If it wasn't for how great is our God. That's a poor in spirit. And that's an attitude that we are to have if we are to be prosperous and abundant and blessed and if we're happy. And so a better way, a paraphrase of blessed are the poor in spirit is blessed are those who humbly recognize their need for God and for their will to enter into his kingdom. So Jesus delivers this upside down message. Remember, Moses delivers the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. So we see that in the Old Testament. We see Elijah call down fire from heaven. And then we see Jesus saying, this is a better way of living. This is the way as believers that we are to live blessed and prosperous and happy and abundant. Keep on reading in verse 4. It says, blessed are those. And again, when we use that word blessed, we can use prosperous, happy, abundant are those who mourn. Now again, that sounds like an upside down way of thinking. That seems very excited when we mourn. It says, for they shall be what? Comforted. Maybe you're in a season of mourning. Maybe everything hasn't worked out exactly like you wanted it to. See, sometimes we put on the happy face. How's everything? It's great. How was your weekend? It was wonderful. And you're lying out of every part of you. And you're just pretending. And you put up a fake social media picture. This is us. We're so beautiful. Look at my family. We're so beautiful. And you never talked about how your kids are absolutely nuts. Mostly, you know, I'm just talking about myself. And so there's a season where we're just like, wow, that I was mourning. There were some things that really hurt me. Maybe you've been betrayed this morning. Maybe someone's talked about you. Maybe you've had some things happen in your life, or you've lost some people. And you think, but Terry, that doesn't make any sense. How can I be blessed and prospered and happy and abundant? And here I am right in the middle of my season of mourning where things just really hurt really bad, and we hold it in, and yet God says, when we mourn, he says, I am going to comfort you. Today you stand right here with us in a God who says, I see your mourning. I have a friend, she lost her mom to COVID and things like that, and about 2 or 3 months later, she lost her father to the same disease. They were elderly, and she said, my grief at times is unbearable. She said it will come in like waves, you know, like waves on a beach. And if you've been in a season of mourning or in a season of grief, we lost my grandmother 10 years ago, and I had no idea that it was 10 years in May, and I was going through some pictures to get some kids' pictures for graduation. I saw a picture of my grandmother with my two aunts who have also passed away, and I sent it to my mom just as out of niceness, like out of kindness. So I sent my mom this picture, and she just began weeping and crying, because it's like a wave, right? Mourning is like a wave. It comes over you, and you get a little bit better, and she says, just like grief will come over you. And I want you to know that in those seasons, that God is a God who will comfort you and that he will take care of you. And the Bible says, and out of Jesus' mouth on this sermon this morning, he's saying, blessed are you when you mourn, because I'm going to comfort you and I'm going to take care of you. So blessed when you're poor in the spirit, blessed are you when you mourn. And then in verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you think, well, meek means weak. So I don't want to be meek because I don't want to be weak. And yet Jesus says, but we're to be meek. And similar is that we are submitting to the authority of God. That we're saying, God, not my will, but your will be done in that job, in my family member's life, in that situation. So God is again saying there's this way to be happy, a way to be prosperous, a way to be humble, a way to honor the Lord. He says it's to be poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you mourn this morning, for you will be comforted. And that's not just in this world, that's also in the world to come. And then in verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, and they will inherit the earth. Another way to say that same phrase is, blessed are those who just submit to God as Lord, for they will inherit everything he possesses. This morning, if you're looking to have possessions, why not become meek and say, okay, God, I'm going to submit to God as Lord. I'm going to submit to your will over my life, and so that I can become and inherit the earth. Guys, do you know that one day we will inherit the earth? truth. As believers in Christ, you could be losing everything right now. Your life could be a hot mess express. I don't know, sometimes mine is. But in those moments that God will say, but when you were meek, I'm going to allow you at the end of all this to inherit the earth, not only in this age, but in the ages to come. In verse 6, keep on reading, it says, blessed are those who hunger. Somebody say hunger. As a student in college, I started reading my Bible. I just really started to love the Word of God, and I started to hear the Word of God. And this was one of my favorite verses. Blessed are those, it says in verse 6, who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, for right living, for justice, so that they shall be satisfied. You ever ate a good food? I don't know what your good food is. Mine used to be crawfish, but I'm allergic, and it's one of the worst things. It's okay. You can pray for me later. But I don't know what your good food is, but you ever ate a good meal? You know what I'm talking about? Steak laid out with every other thing. And at the end of that meal, you were satisfied. Like a good meal. It says when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there is a hunger that comes up on the inside and a thirst that comes up on the inside. And God says, if you want to be happy and abundant and prosperous, then you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. There has to be a longing on the inside of you. When you see something that is not right, that sort of gets upset in your spirit, and you say, no, I want things to be made right. I was teaching in Oakland one morning at a Christian club, and I was speaking to about 100 students, and they were all in the gym, and I'll never forget this. This one student comes up, he comes in before everybody, and he's a little bit tiny, and he's a little bit like, you know, just shriveled, and he has a plate of Oakland food, which is disgusting. And so it's like burnt cheese sandwiches and really weird carrot things. And anyway, but it's all he had. So he comes in with his little meal, and he sits down in the bleachers in the gym. And I'm sitting there. I'm not a teacher. I'm not anything. I'm just the person giving the Word of God that morning. And so I sit there, and I watch this dude in eighth grade come, and he's a little bit bigger and a little bit buffer. And he sits there, and he comes and snatches the kid's cheese sandwich. Y'all, there was a righteousness that got up inside of me, and I don't know, but I was gonna suspend the dude. I was like, I'm getting ready to, like, you know. And he looked at me. I said, you're gonna give him back his cheese sandwich in Jesus' name. And there's a righteousness, a hunger that I said, that's not right. What you're doing is not right. And the little dude looked at me like, no teacher ever cared before. I said, boo, I'm not a teacher. I just love Jesus. And you're gonna get your cheese sandwich. You're gonna get your cheese sandwich. And I'll never forget that little dude gave him back his cheese sandwich. Why? There's a righteousness that comes up on the inside of us. As a believer, we want things to be made right. We should have a hunger for that and a thirst for that. This shouldn't be how we want it to be all the time, that our streets are full of drugs and our streets are full of addiction and there's discomfort and wrong things in our families. Guys, we have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who passionately long for Jesus to do a work in people's lives, because they shall be satisfied. Somebody say satisfied. Look at verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's to receive mercy. To not get what you deserve for your sin. To not deserve what you deserve for your actions. There's not a one of us in this room that are perfect. One of the greatest blessings sometimes whenever I act out or crazy or whatever, tells us like, oh, it's no big deal. I just screwed up the whole world. And it's like, it's no big deal. That's mercy, y'all. We're like, no, it's a big deal. I did some stupid stuff. I can admit it. But then he just shows mercy. Because blessed are you when you just show mercy. There was one time we give our kids allowances every month, and we have this system of X's. Like when our kids do something wrong or they don't do their chore, they get an X. My youngest gets about 20,000 million of them, and my oldest is like never gets an X ever in his life. And the two oldest, and really all three of them, okay, let's just be honest, it's just the fourth one. And so I'm sitting there, and she loves when I preach about her in her sermons. I said, but you're the only one who gives me examples. And I'll never forget, we got together at the table, we're handing out allowance money, and everybody, you know, like getting their money. And Ten says, today we're gonna show mercy. And she's looking around like, what's mercy? We named her Grace just because she needed some. And so her middle name. And so he said, we're gonna show mercy, and every X that you have, we're gonna make it into zero. We're praise dropped whenever she said, every month, can we have mercy again? Just wanted for our allowance. Can we, right? Blessed are you when you are what? When you are merciful. No, boo, you're going to get your consequences. But for this moment, you're being shown mercy. But guys, when we sit at the feet of Jesus, what does he show us? He shows us mercy. And so we are too to show people mercy. It's okay that you cut me off in traffic. It's okay that you cursed me out. It's okay that you've been talking bad about me. Why? I'm just going to show you mercy. Blessed and happy and prosperous are you when you are shown mercy, because then you shall receive mercy. I need mercy. I need the Father in heaven to forgive me of all my exes. I don't know about you. I need the grace of God and the mercy of God. So blessed are you when you are merciful, for you shall receive mercy. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, the pure in heart are the kids. Victor reminded us this morning to dance before the Lord as kids. The pure in heart are those who have been cleansed from within. This is not an outward righteousness that we can be seen by men, but it's an inward holiness that God can see. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 14 that without holiness, no one will see God. Blessed, let's say it another way, are you who have been purified from inside out, being made clean and holy, for you will see God. Keep on reading in verse 9. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So again, we see this idea. We're showing mercy. And then not only are we showing mercy, we're not the people involved in the gossip. We are not the people involved in talking about other people in the workplace. In fact, we are the people that are getting out of those places so that why? We can be a peacemaker. We don't have to be someone always stirring up trouble. You know those kind of people, the ones that are always stirring up trouble. They're always the ones gossiping. Always the one in all kinds of mess. Sometimes I think they like it. And yet Jesus in this upside down kingdom says, blessed are you when you are a peacemaker, for you will be called what? Sons of God. So when we display peace, and not just like I'm not going to say anything, but rather if you are saying thing, I'm going to take myself out of the situation and not allow, I want to show peace. I want to begin to show peace. Blessed are you and happy are you and abundant are you when you show the peace of God into people's lives. Blessed are you when you've been allowed that. And then look at verse 10. It says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Persecution is coming. We are getting persecuted. I remember as a young person, I want to speak to young people for a minute. As young people, you get persecuted for being a believer. When you attend a school of 1,000 kids and you're the only Christian in the house, or you're the only Christian in your class, might not kill you, but they're going to kill you with their words. You're going to be made fun of for being a Christian. You're going to be made fun of for showing up to the house of God, for living in purity. If you're living in purity, you'll be made fun of for it. They'll talk about you. They'll say that God doesn't exist. They'll say that this is all for nothing. So there is a persecution that is on our young people already, but I want to let you know that this persecution is coming. There is a persecution, and we get to live here in America, but there is a persecution that has already hit in other countries where people are giving up their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is an antichrist spirit. There is a person that the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and that comes sometimes through persecution, and yet Jesus knew this. And guess who he was talking to? In this particular scripture, he said, I'm going to teach my disciples. Guess what happened to his disciples? They were persecuted. They were killed for the gospel. They were hung upside down for the gospel. They were thrown into oil for the gospel and killed. They were. They took them on a cross, and they actually took the cross upside down and said, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. And these guys understood, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 11. Blessed are you when others others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. On whose account? On my account. Now don't just be crazy and say, well, I'm just being persecuted. No. See, this is on the account of Jesus. Blessed are you when people revile you because they love Jesus. You love Jesus. Blessed are you when people persecute you because you love Jesus. Blessed are you when people utter evil against you because you love Jesus. In verse 12, it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Can you play that music? Guys, what a way to start a sermon. What a way to introduce himself. Everything in the Old Testament, the law, over 600 of the laws, and then he has the prophets to compete against and the power of God to compete against, and he's bringing his kingdom. Jesus says, I'm bringing the kingdom on the Sermon on the Mount, and if you want to rule and reign with him, then we must become like them. And so the ultimate example of everything that I've just spoken about for the last 15 minutes or so in this particular Jesus. Every blessed and prosperous has been in abundance. Jesus lived this out. He submitted to God in everything. Think about it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that was Jesus. He would always humbly recognize his need for God. Blessed are those who mourn. He lost Lazarus. He lost people. He came out of the kingdom, and he'll be comforted. Jesus. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. And yet we know Jesus to be a perfect example of meekness because he submitted to God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again, his name is Jesus. Blessed are you, the merciful. And how many times would Jesus catch someone in sin? Remember the woman caught in adultery, and he starts writing in the sand, and he says what to this? He says, where are your accusers? And then he tells the lady, go and sin no more. Blessed was he. He was merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. That the Pharisees couldn't catch him, and the Sadducees couldn't write anything about him. Blessed, Jesus was pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Remember whenever Jesus goes up before the council and the Sanhedrin, and what is he? Doesn't even open his mouth, the Bible says. There are times when you just need to shut your mouth. Not say, I'm talking to myself, not say a thing. Say, God, I just want to be blessed, prosperous, and abundant your way. And then blessed are those who are persecuted. Wasn't that Jesus persecuted? Reviled? Didn't they spit in his face and mock him? Didn't they utter all kinds of evil against him? If you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, didn't they say that to Jesus? So this kingdom living, not only does he speak about it, Jesus Christ actually lives about it. He says, if you want to find me this morning, quit living like the world tells you to live. Quit living like the culture tells you to live and start living in my kingdom. If you want to be blessed and happy, and everybody wants to be happy, everybody wants to be abundant, everybody wants to be prosperous, start living like Jesus. Would you bow your head this morning and close your eyes? That's the call. This entire summer, we're going to hear things in this upside down kingdom. And the call at the end of it all is, come live with me. Come find me. And a way that we find him is to live like him. So this morning, with the group that we have, I would think there would be one of those blessings. Spirit has sort of convicted you. And what that means simply is this, is that as we were reading the Word of God, you say, you know, I'm sort of not where I need to be at. Maybe in showing mercy. Maybe there's just an example. And as you walk out the door this morning, you're going to need to go and show mercy to that person. Maybe there's an example of peace. You've not been keeping the peace. You've been stirring up hot mess. And Jesus is this morning reminding you, but I'm a peacemaker. Perhaps you're in the room and you've been persecuted, or people have been talking about you, or because of Jesus. Continue in that, because God is right with you. this morning you mourn and you never knew that there was a God that was okay with your mourning, He is okay with your grief, and He comforts you in it, in those seasons where we're in those places this morning. God, I'm just saying, it's okay, mourn and grief, because I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to pray this morning. What the world says is not what you have said. So this morning, God, as we have heard the word of God, and we have heard that it is blessed, God, to mourn. It is blessed to be meek. It is blessed to be poor in spirit. It is blessed to be merciful. It is blessed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is blessed to be pure in heart. Blessed are we when we are peacemakers. Blessed are we when the persecution comes for your sake and they make fun of us and they utter all kinds of evil. God, that this morning that we would walk out blessed and prosperous and happy and abundant because we are living your kingdom and principles out in our life. Help us to extend mercy and peace. Help us to be pure in heart. God, help us to mourn knowing that we'll be comforted. And God, help us to realize that in all of this, you are our greatest example, Jesus. So as we walk, let us be more like you. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Join us next week. We're going to go right into the next couple of verses. Hug someone's neck. Tell them two nice things about themselves. Go and extend mercy and peace in Jesus' name. And we'll see you next Sunday.